What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
The Volume.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, is bringing you an offer that'll help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. The Cowboys are 7-point favorites against the Packers this weekend, and I'm excited to see how they manage to mess it up.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Jenkins. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code Jenkins. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Thursday, February 29th, and it is unspeakably beautiful outside. I feel like if Jackson Safon cared about us, he would be like the teacher that says, "Let's go podcast outside today."
Remember that? That was such a special time.
Oh. Char's that teacher. You know Char's that teacher.
So she just go that. Up under a tree and just teach a and just teach
she's,
like
she's
a
she's an English
lesson.
Teacher too. So she'd be like, "Let's go sit." You see in the courtyard of Polly too. She'd be like, "Let's go sit. Let's go sit amongst the rose bushes, taking
the
sun."
Fire. Oh God. Oh.
As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by Dragonfly Jones, aka Tyler.
Hey everybody, have a good.
The Jethro Jenkins, aka John.
What's that, Bubbas?
I'm Guardy B, aka Mike.
Motherfucking
mother.
Motherfucking Mike.
Motherfucking
coming to you live.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
You challenged him in the last episode. That's
hey,
why.
Man, come on, man.
You called me out last episode.
We
got
to hold
buddy.
On to that. We got to hold on to that, man.
Greats respond to a challenge.
Tyler's, yeah, that's right.
Love it, love it, love
big
it.
Time players make big time motherfucking mics and big time pods, you know?
The strip club DJ voice is back. Coming to the stage, Roxy.
But produced as always by the lovely and talented Jackson Safon.
Wada.
Wada.
All right. Did you guys know that a Clipper was a ship?
Yes.
I did not know that. Yeah.
I know a lot Tyler of knew, though. I know yeah, a lot of dumb me. Shit because I just be wanting to know like why the fuck are our teams named such. But yeah, I knew that they were called Clippers because they was, you know, moved from Buffalo to San Diego. San Diego got the whole little bay there and shit. And a Clipper is a type of
boat with a bunch of fucking sails that moves fast because, you know, a bunch of sails equal a bunch of wind catching and shit. So, yeah, I knew that. I know a lot of dumb shit. Like, do y'all know the Trailblazers logo is like the only abstract logo in all the sports?
Yes.
Like, yeah, it is a representation of a 5-on-5 basketball game. There's 5 swoops going this way, 5 swoops going that way. It's a 5-on-5 basketball game.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember the first book you ever recommended.
I know, like, that because you told me that.
when we first met, you recommended a book to me, like, facts that people wouldn't know about. It was just like a book of random facts. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I remember you would go through, when you got bored at work, you would just press random on Wikipedia and just go through shit on Wiki. I was like, who is this nigga, dog? But a Jeopardy ass nigga, bro. You feel
back me? When it was actually the information age and not the misinformation age.
Right.
The before times. Right. Yeah, man.
Those are the good old days, bro.
You brought the book to South By. Like, you was reading the book of like random.
Oh, yeah. I remember. And I gave you that shit. I was like, yeah, you can have it. I'll get another one. I remember that shit.
Yeah.
That's dope. Yeah, I didn't know. I did not know. I just thought it. And my friend asked me, he said, what did you think it was? And I said, I just thought they were a shitty basketball team. Like, I didn't know.
That's always my question. Like, what did y'all think that they were, bro? Like,
I don't know. I never thought about it. It was like, it's the Clippers. Like, why would I think about the Clippers? Like, but I do feel similarly. Like, if the, it's like, I mean, putting a boat on the logo, it's like, someone said, it's like, oh, well, like the Lakers. It's like, but yeah, the Lakers would never have a logo that was 1,000 lakes, though. I mean, I don't know. It's just, I generally like the redesigned uniforms. I just thought the logo with the boat was like, no one thinks of you as boats. Like nobody, it's like the Packers. They're not going to put a picture of someone packing meat or something as the logo. Like, they're the Packers. It exists separate from the name that they represent, I feel like.
Do y'all know what a knickerbocker is?
Type of pant, right?
Yep, a type of pants worn by Dutch settlers of New York.
The reason the Lakers wouldn't put a lake on their logo, on their thing, though, is because they don't want to remind people that they stole some of their championships from Minnesota.
Yeah, what do you mean stole?
Get into it. No, don't just kid. Get into it.
I don't know. I know the Seattle Supersonics won like one championship in the 70s, right?
79.
Does OKC have that banner up in their arena?
No, I think
if they were still the Sonics, they would though.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's the thing. It's like the St. Louis or the right that like the Rams. There's like the Phoenix card, like the Arizona Cardinals.
Do the Rams, the ones from in 2001, did they take that?
Yeah, have that like if you stay as the same team name, like, okay. There is actually some like interesting legal stuff around that in the NFL because of the weird triumvirate of like the Browns, Colts, and Ravens, where like the Colts went from Baltimore to Indianapolis and kept the history. And then you have a new team in Baltimore, but so do they get the Baltimore history? The Browns didn't exist and then did re-exist. So it's like similar, like if someone starts the Sonics in Seattle, which we've heard is going to happen, do they just put up all the old shit? They do, right? Because they're back.
And I also remember there was, when they first moved, there was a lot of, everyone in Seattle was really mad because they were like, oh, all these players from the Thunder are like, they were lumping the history in together when they first moved, and everyone's like, nah, you cannot do this. You stole our team, you can't steal our history. Also,
yeah.
Except, what do you do? You say Kevin Durant didn't exist in the NBA last year,
exactly. Like, if KD, if the Sonics start back, and it's like, is KD scored how many points with the Sonics versus with Thunder? It's a little murky for players like KD specifically,
yeah. Who happens to be all time great. I think that's where you draw the line,
though. If players are playing for both teams, then you keep, you know what I'm saying, but like. Talking about Gary Payton scoring so and so or having so many steals, best OKC defender in history. Come on, nigga, like that ain't it. You know what I mean?
So yeah, no, I agree, but it is a weird thing, and it is one of the problems with us putting these like huge culturally important institutions that actually are secretly just like billion-dollar corporations. You know, it's like you don't want the memories that you had as a Sonics fan to be tied to what this one asshole like wants to do with his company. And that's how they're all set up, obviously, so that happens. So, yeah, I don't know. The Sonics thing is weird, though. It is. It's like Kevin, like, I mean, they're going to retire Kevin Durant's jersey. You know, yeah, probably not. But at the same time,
OKC or what or who?
Seattle, the Sonics. That's their guy. It was franchise defining that they picked him.
What they'll end up doing is, because he has said that he wants to be part of the ownership group. And so I think they'll just do a lot of like really cool big stuff about him when he becomes officially like part of the franchise again.
Is he going to get a statue?
No.
I don't think he's getting a statue. He ain't do shit in Seattle, man.
Kevin Durant in Seattle. But imagine this, because we just saw this with the A's, right? You have a year where you know that this rich dude is fucking you and he's going to take your team. You and your kids are going to be going to fucking UW baseball games instead of Sonics games for the rest of your life, right? And what he did was, he was Kevin Durant that year. Imagine if the A's, instead of no one coming, you had one of the best baseball players in history to go see every day. Like, I was at their next to last home game and wrote a column about it. Like, that was a huge deal. He was selling the arena out. People were like losing their mind about him. I really think, even if it was a small window of time, he's a super, super important athletic figure in the Pacific Northwest history. Just like, that's such a different feel of, we're tanking and we win four games and there's nothing to see and then the team leaves, versus, you know, you have a sold out game, overtime wins, all this other shit. Like, at the end of the season, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't. I'm bust. Not saying he'd get a
give
statue.
Him, give him a bust. You know, there has to be like a middle ground.
I think
statue or bust is in the
neck
middle.
Up.
You know what I mean?
Just
neck up. Have get the whole body. You know what I mean?
Some, like, Sonic's history, like, museum or whatever. And he'll definitely have a section there.
Yeah.
And what I would love to see is some sort of, like, hopefully the team, the Sonics, exist while Kevin Durant is still playing. And hopefully, I would love him to, like, go back and, like, play one year there, or, like, do something where he's able to like reconnect with the team while he's still active in the league.
And the city.
I think that's an underrated what if, bro. If the Sonics stay in Seattle, obviously with the talent that they ended up getting. But then the question is, Kevin Durant, I mean, I think there's a lot of reporting out there about part of what Kevin Durant was looking for was a different place to live than Oklahoma City. Like,
yeah, he's not leaving.
What's Kevin Durant's career like if the Sonics don't move to the Oklahoma City Thunder? Is he just a Sonic?
He's a Sonic lifer. I bet my bottom dollar.
Bottom dollar.
That's cool. I don't know.
But dog, like, to Pavel pick like Kevin Durant and then the team leave the next year.
There's pictures of Kevin Durant and Westbrook in Sonics jerseys together, and Westbrook never played
there. But like, to have those two like back to back all timers.
Yeah.
And then one never plays. The other dude played 1 year in the Shake. And then you see them like by 2011, they're like battling against Bron for the championship. You know what I'm saying? Like knocking the Spurs out and shit, going up against the fucking like the Grizzlies, like, and you're just watching that. Nigga. Also, I never thought of it from that point of view.
A few extra bucks.
Yeah. What a bunch of what? Right.
Also, Mr. Starbucks can like diversify his fucking portfolio. What an asshole.
Jesus. That's wild. And then like objectively great NBA city too. You know what I'm saying? It's not like there wasn't a huge fan base that loved the fucking Sonics.
No, that's right. 100, like I said, like the game I went to, bro, this is not like the A's leaving Oakland. Where it's like,
not like the Rams leaving St. Louis, nigga. Like, I went to Rams games. It was depressing, dog. Like, I only went when they were free, and I went to see, like, Peyton play when he was with the Colts or some shit. I wasn't going to see the Rams. Like, the actual Rams fans were very, like, I looked at them like, nigga, damn, y'all really signed up for this? They looked so sad. There was, like, 8 of them. I get that. But the Sonics was totally different. You know what I mean?
For sure.
I'm not going to say it's like New York or Chicago in terms of basketball talent pipelines, but, like, Jamal Crawford, DeJounte Murray, Paolo Banchero. Like, there are a lot of Nate Robinson, Terrence Ross. Like, there's a lot of
NBA talent. Summer League goes crazy up there. You know what I mean?
For sure. No, 100%. The UW basketball programs, too. I mean, there's a lot of underrated shit in the Pacific Northwest just because it's like the television cameras break when they go up there because it rains too much. So people don't fucking hear about it. You know what I mean? I think Seattle, honestly, I mean, I love fucking Seattle, bro. Portland was a tad snow roachy for us, but Seattle was like, you know, that was on the short list of cities we could see ourselves living in when we did our little honeymoon road trip shit. So
I went to Portland and I get, yes, those are the vibes, bro. Like, they were nice, but it had a very get out type feel. You know what I'm saying? Like,
these people are nice, but something isn't right. Like, my Spidey senses were going crazy. You feel me?
Bro, it was put in the state charter when Oregon was founded that black people were banned. Black people could not live there, dog.
And I heard, like, Oregon has, like, one of the bigger, like, you know what I'm saying, like, racist, like, organizations that exist.
Malicious. Not only in Portland, but fucking, Oregon in general. It is a fucking racist militia fucking haven, bro. Oregon.
I would say that's true for Washington, too. Like, both those states, if you leave the coast, like, from there all the way through Idaho and then, like, Montana and the Dakotas and stuff, that is, like, prime, like, Proud Boy training ground territory. You know what I mean?
I don't go east of the mountains.
Yeah. That's where my mom lives, bro. That's where my mom was a social worker. She definitely seen some shit, bro.
Don't go east of the mountains has real the hills have eyes vibes, nigga. You know what I mean? Somebody has a face that they carved. You said what?
We had like baseball and basketball tournaments. Not like I never went across, but like, it's a different, it feels like a different state.
I remember like being in the South having AAU tournaments, and baseball brings you to the weirdest and worst places. You feel me? Like, so that makes a lot of sense, dog. I remember like dudes, like, I remember like, Tennessee in general was racist. You know what I mean? But like, a motherfucker is getting, golly bum, this is cold rain. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not a racist statement, but you know racism has come out that mouth. You know what I'm saying? Like, that brain has other racist thoughts with that golly bum, you know what I mean? So, yeah, so that makes sense.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
All right. Did y'all see Bron's tweet about Bronny and wishing that people would, lay off
forget
a little
that he's
bit?
Bronny.
I get it.
I get it, but also get why it's not going to be that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, Bron kind of, you know, hyped the kid up himself. Yeah. Like he tweeted out. You know, he was watching when he was injured that one time. He was like, you know, tweeting out about how he was watching League Pass. He's like, Bronny better than a lot of these dudes I'm watching.
Yeah.
I mean, bro, you know, you can't put that top back on that bottom once you open it. But I mean, either way, the bullseye was going to be on Bronny's back. He's LeBron James Jr., right? Right. So, I mean, but
wasn't yeah. that wasn't that one of Bron's quotes, though, that he was going to wear a different number because he wanted to have his, you know, he wanted to have his own identity. It's like he's literally LeBron James Jr., bro.
And
like,
checking in, LeBron James Jr. Like, bro, you can't escape that.
Only two LeBrons on the planet. You know what I'm saying? Like, you and your dad, like, that's crazy.
LeBron
James. I get him as a father, like, saying he's better than this, a lot of these dudes, some of these dudes in the league. And also wanted people to chill out. I mean, that's very dad energy. You feel me? Like, but yeah, like you said, Tyler. Yeah, you can't say that and then not get the what's coming with it. But also, you said what was coming with it was coming regardless if you said that or not. So it's just kind of a fucked up situation. And yeah. But Bronny's the one caught up in it. A 19-year-old. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I'm sure it'll work out for him one way or the other, but it's definitely, I thought that was an interesting quote. I was like, I did, like you said, I get it as a dad, but it's also like, bro, I mean, you, it's what Tyler said, man. You as a, you know, just a
you
guy
were
who
part of what you are wanting people to stop yeah. doing. You were, you played a part. You,
right.
You what, were part what, of them. You are them.
Once right. again, you're complaining about Subway being trash when nigga, you made the sandwich. Like sage words right there.
All right, let's talk about it. Did y'all see that Wendy's was floating the idea of doing surge pricing that they then had to walk back? Did y'all see this shit?
Yes. Motherfuckers are just yes. greedy, bro. Just flat out fucking greedy. Like, there's no excuse for that, where you're just gonna raise the price of a burger during prime fucking hunger hours. Like, dog, like, it's not even about profits anymore, profit margins. It's about how greedy, how much
what can I get away with
for? Yeah. I see they walk that shit back after everybody let them know, like, what the fuck do y'all think y'all are doing? But, like, well, why you can't surge the shit on the opposite end where you decrease the prices? That's good fucking business right there. Like, right. your shit will be booming. You know what I'm saying? But,
bro, if it was 30% off at 1 o'clock in the morning at Wendy's, bro, oh, I mean, I guess actually I'd probably just be buying the same amount of Wendy's but paying less for it. But I would yeah. be very excited about it.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I know Elizabeth Warren and a bunch of other people tweeted about it, which is good. Like, politicians of like, hey, yeah, I think this is actually illegal. Like, you cannot like nakedly be price gouging like that. Like, yeah, the Baconator is $6.99, but if Tyler wants one, it's $7.50. Like,
damn, that's wild as fuck, bro. You just pulling up at the drive-thru, not knowing what the fuck you're getting into. Hell no. Nah.
Right. And it hurts.
Who suggested that and who leaked it? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how'd that get out? Were they like really close to getting it done?
Yeah, I think they were like floating it. Yeah, I mean, I think they were floating it. Yeah, okay. I think so. And I have to admit, as embarrassing as it is to have brand loyalty in 2024, I was hurt that it was Wendy's, bro.
Wendy's has really good burger meat. I remember like
that's working my spot, those, John.
Remember working like those like basic ass jobs like Best Buy and shit. We'd all, like Wendy's was the place that we'd all go because like. We could pay cheap prices, but what McDonald's and Burger King meat was trash. Like, you know what I mean? Out of the fast food, that was the actual meat that we felt like we weren't eating styrofoam. You know what right. I mean? We weren't killing ourselves by yeah. eating that burger. You know what yeah. I'm saying? And then they betray us in that way. I was a Baconator fan. I was promoting the Baconator to all my friends as a kid. Like, you need to try that fucking Baconator, man. That motherfucker goes crazy. You know what I'm saying? And bro, now you see that's crazy.
Wendy's had like the most rejuvenating lettuce on a burger I've ever tasted in my life, bro. Like you bite into that motherfucker and you feel like the nutrients go through coursing through your body. Like
the tomatoes
like
it was
about
too.
It, yeah, it was about too. It was about as healthy as a fast food burger spot could get, you know?
It didn't seem like it was sitting under the warmer. We've all worked those fast food jobs.
With a little spray bottle. I had that from a Wendy's insider.
We would just like make a burger and let the shit sit under a warmer, like Hardee's and shit and other fast food places I work. But it's for like Wendy's actually made it fresh for you. You know yeah. what I mean? Even if it was a lie, it felt like it.
When that 99-cent menu was going, two junior Ooh. Bacon cheeseburgers, a 99-cent fry, and a 99-cent chocolate frosty, bro. Like
crazy.
$5.
They baked potatoes, too, back before my stomach was fucking trash as hell. Them baked potatoes just go crazy, too. You love them shit.
That was when you needed to sustain yourself. When you were like, I only got $1 and I don't know when the fuck I'm getting money again. Give me the potato, please.
I need my colon to be heavy as long as possible.
Yes. Carb load me, please.
I told y'all I had like $10 one week for like a whole week in college. Nigga, bro, you got to make some shit. You don't make some decisions.
You were carb loading to run a 5K. You were carb loading to be poor. Like,
You were carb loading because you weren't eating tomorrow, bro.
Right, nigga. You feel me?
I was carb loading for it's Thursday and I don't get paid till Friday.
Yeah. Bro, it was, I remember like driving to driving from work and thinking like, damn, I got $10 till Friday and it was Monday night. Like, how did we make it, bro? That's crazy. But Wendy's held us down. You know what I mean?
Well, one answer to that question.
I expected better from Wendy's.
Yeah. One answer to that question that I saw Tyler tweet about. I didn't have this on the topic list, but it's probably worth talking about was, John, did you see that the head of the Kellogg Corporation is suggesting, actually, they did a cutesy little ad about it, that it was like, hey, if you're broke as fuck and you can't afford groceries, eat cereal for dinner.
Just like, as someone who has lived that life, that is not something to aspire to. Like, it's cool to eat, cereal for dinner just because you can. But there's times where I had to eat that because that was the only shit I had in the crib to eat. And eating cereal for dinner, bro, nah, that was not a good fucking feel, man. It was some shit you did just to get by. And now they are trying to paint it as a great idea. And that's just, bro, it's just so fucking foul. That's straight out the playbook where, no, you're not struggling. Don't blame this on corporate greed. You just have to change your perspective. Eating cornflakes for dinner is actually good. No, the fuck it isn't, dog. Right. It isn't.
Yeah.
It's breakfast for dinner. Like, cereal's not necessarily breakfast. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't look at it as the same. The only time I've eaten cereal for dinner is when, like Tyler said, desperation. Or, like, it's late. Like, it's, like, 9:30. I just want to get something fast. But, like, eating it out of, like, necessity, like, motherfucker, work on the economy, bitch ass nigga. Don't tell me to fucking eat cereal. You know what I mean? Especially coming from a motherfucker that's probably a billionaire. You know what I mean? Like, nigga, that's nasty. That has real, like, let them eat cake vibes, nigga. You know what happened to that motherfucker? We need to upheaval, nigga. We need to start chopping heads off again. You know, we're losing recipes. You know what I mean?
Pulling up to the Kellogg's Corporation.
Did y'all
decapitate motherfuckers?
Run with. Speaking of, you know.
Let's figure that out, guys. We'll talk off the pod.
Speaking of this being a little fun facts episode, do y'all know why cornflakes were created by Kellogg?
Yes, and I was actually just about to say, and I will let you deliver your punchline, I was just going to say that, like, the one thing that's funny about being the CEO of the Kellogg Corporation is he could come out and say he's celebrating Hitler's birthday, and it wouldn't be the craziest thing the head of the Kellogg Corporation ever said.
Right. They were created to curb people's urge to masturbate. That's what cornflakes were created for.
Overtly.
So these motherfuckers came out and said, hey, eat this so you don't beat your dick. And now they tell us, hey, eat this so you survive. Like, y'all just got terrible fucking PR there, bro. Like, no ideas that you have suggested to us are good, dude.
Is there, like, any sort of logic at all behind
that? Yeah, it was, like, classic, like, pseudoscience in the eugenics era when there was also pseudoscience about head size and stuff. The feeling was that it was, like, a vitamin deficiency that was causing
bland food.
Boys to masturbate.
Graham crackers, too. Graham crackers were created to be anti-masturbation food as well.
It was like, they need more nutrients. Yeah, they need more nutrients. You could be sitting there, you could be 14, your dick's so hard, you know, you might bump it against a table and bust in your pants, but your belly's so full of Graham crackers.
I don't care how Graham crackers came to exist. I'm glad they exist.
I love Graham crackers.
They're Graham crackers. So good, bro.
They're so good.
Are Graham crackers and, like, animal crackers cousins? Doesn't it kind of feel like that? Am I tripping? Like, they taste very similar.
Animal crackers are to stop you getting blowjobs.
Oh, that's what they. That's what I.
It's like every food has a different sex act. It's trying
fuck
to deny
animal
you.
Crackers. You gonna go that far?
All right. Well, there was one billionaire doing something somewhat relatable this week. John was tweeting about Mark Zuckerberg. You know, you have to have a certain amount of respect for a dude who gets so rich he could do anything he wants. And I guess a big part of what he's choosing to do is have custom swords made so that he could train as a samurai. And I know he's doing MMA and shit too. And I guess salute to Zuck, right, John?
Bro, I just feel like if I'm rich, I don't want more things. I imagine that will get old, right? But experiences are like, so I would want to go to a fucking top of a mountain and make a fucking Hideki Hanzo fucking sword, nigga, whatever. You know, I want to go with the sword master. Of course, when I'm rich, I'm going to go there barefoot, motherfucking smelling like, you know what I'm saying? 12 dicks, not showered in 3 days. I want those type of experience, niggas. You know, nigga, I want that shit. You feel me? I want shit that you can't pay for. I think that's, I said that because when I went to Africa, I didn't shower for like 3 days.
Those dicks.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, bro. I don't know what anybody else smells like. Can you tell me? Can you? No. But like, dog, this is a very nasty pod, bro. We've gotten some crazy shit.
You say you want to smell like 12 dicks. I'm just wondering saying, which like, dicks.
I want to have an experience you can't pay for. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I want to get rich to have time. Like, even if you had the money, do you have the time to go spend 3 weeks, you know what I'm saying, making his fucking sword? The part of being rich that I love is that the freedom you have with it. I don't have to worry about work or responsibility to that shit. I can go do some weird shit like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I respect that. Tyler, are you getting a sword if you become a billionaire?
Hell yeah. Did y'all ever
see that? I ate too, though. You feel me? Yeah. I know.
did y'all ever watch Blue Eyed Samurai?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's an hell incredible, yeah, nigga. It's an incredible sword making. Yeah, it's an incredible sword making character in that who is just like steals the whole fucking show. But no spoilers on that. But it's fucking incredible. Peep it if you have it. It's legitimately like the best fucking martial arts piece of media I've seen probably since like Kill Bill, bro. Like it's that fucking good, man. It's incredible.
I just feel like getting rich and buying cool nigga shit is stupid. Like, I think I'd be almost anti. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want to. I'd want to spend my time doing shit that I like. The freedom of being rich is what you want, right? Not just the things. Like, anyway, so that's what I fuck with. Like, whether it's going, you know what I'm saying, making a sword or something else that is extra fucking odd that you can just spend time doing it. I want to get into all that type of shit. You feel me?
Yeah. Okay. We have two entrants into this Scammer of the Year ongoing competition that we have. Did you guys hear about the woman who lost out on her $800,000 disability case because photo emerged of her throwing a tree at a tree throwing competition?
Dumbest fucking
shit
ever.
No.
I just texted you the link to the story. Please just click on it real quick so that you can see how aggressively she is throwing the tree in this picture.
So she was trying to get some insurance money because like some
she had won 5 years ago a $800,000 settlement that she has now is now being carried against her. The judge referred to the picture as quote graphic because of how obviously not disabled she is in this picture.
I think the thing is she got a lot of money. She's rich. You feel me? She want to do rich people shit. Like you get into tree throwing. Like I said, you make swords, tree throwing. Like nigga, you feel me? It was hard to fight the urge. She was living right. You feel me? Just the issue was somebody recorded it.
Yeah. Crazy. You gotta know, you go to a big media event like a tree throwing competition.
Yeah, you know what I mean? There's gonna be cameras out, guys. You know what I mean?
Okay, the other entrant is, and I've also just texted you this link.
Big-ass tree.
Did you? It was a 5-foot tree, and that was the competition. It was who could throw this 5-foot tree the furthest. She fucking chucked that shit, bro.
Did she win? I want to know, man. Hopefully she won.
She didn't win, bro. Okay. Prize wasn't $800,000 either.
It wasn't 800, for sure.
I just texted you the other Scam of the Year nominee, which is in Glasgow, a Willy Wonka experience
that
marketed itself with AI images that showed like this beautiful, cool, like, oh, wow, like we can come hang out with Oompa Loompas was like maybe. I mean, this is like Fyre Fest to the 10th fucking degree, because at least there were like white bread sandwiches at Fyre Fest. You know what I mean? This is a hanger with one like stuffed rainbow and then like blank walls with a small picture taped up of like Candyland, a woman who looks like, I mean, she just looks like a crackhead, bro.
Damn, like,
handing you two Jolly Ranchers. Like, But they talked to like one of the actors who was in it, and they were like, yeah, it was the worst shit ever. Like, I felt horrible for all these kids.
I saw that photo right there, like when it was first posted, and I was like, bruh, like for sure, scam of the year, G. And it's like, it looks like a kid's craft project. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like kids planned it out. Like it was so different from what they promoted. Crazy. But the AI images, they might have got me though. Motherfucker. You know what I mean? The image they used to sell it were incredible.
Yeah. I might have showed that to the kids. The kids love Willy Wonka. They love they love all of them. They've been running through all those, like that soundtrack's on our fucking on loop in our house right now, bro. They would have been so about that. You got to see a picture of what it looks
like.
You might have
fought somebody, bro. That is, bro, it's such a blatant lie. It's,
yeah. Crazy.
Is she the only person working there? Like, there's like, nobody else in
there. There was like five people in the warehouse. You just like wander around. I mean, it's like more like a Horror Nights maze.
Like, take a photo with the image we shared online that we told you you're actually going to.
Crazy. It's crazy, bro, that they didn't even like hang up straight. You know what I mean? It's fucking wild. Respect. Anyway, as respect. I mentioned, respect. You know, I guess the brazenness of it. In this country, you probably get promoted to Kellogg CEO for doing some shit like that. So I don't know. I think in Scotland, they actually got in trouble. All right. As I mentioned at the top of the show, it is February 29th. That is my birthday. I'm turning 40 years old, and I'm hoping.
Happy birthday, my boy.
Thanks, fellas. Mike. Thanks, guys. I'm hoping that you will share some advice as I'm turning 40. How should I be feeling? I feel pretty good about my life and everything. I feel like I'm supposed to be stressed out about turning 40, which I don't feel stressed out about it at all. But like, does a midlife crisis kick in like a week? Or is it a sign that we've been like living correct that you just turned 40 and it's like, all right, cool.
Bro, I remember like the only time I was really even halfway stressing was turning 30. And I feel like that's more with like societal expectations. Everyone's like 30 is the magic age where you have your shit together. No one cares when you turn 40. Everyone's like, okay, you are old and you are dead to us. You don't really matter anymore. So like turning 40 was like stress-free as a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was like I said, I was stressing like a lot during my 29th year. Then I woke up on my 30th birthday and I was like, wow, I'm 30. So next year I'm going to be 31. Like that's just how this shit works. And I was like, I don't know why the fuck I was stressing. Like that shit just felt normal as fuck. But you know, that's the only advice I can give you, dog, is like, it didn't feel different at all to me. And all we going to do is just keep getting older, bro. Like we do not matter anymore in the whole scheme of things in regards to the societal expectations and shit.
I think I was just thought like 30 was old and I was scared of 30. You know what I mean? And then my 30s were great. They were way better than my fucking 20s. I was broken, fucking struggling and figuring shit out, doing dumb shit all through my 20s. You know what I mean? So the 30s were so good. I was looking forward to the 40s. So when I turned 40, I was just like, we going to run it up again. You feel me? I think like, maybe like when we get, I think we live different, so our bodies feel different from the past years. I don't think 40 feels like how 40 used to feel. Knocking 40 is at the hard right now, bottom yes. suitcase yeah. wearing 40 like the generation prior. You know what I mean? I've enjoyed the fuck out of my 40s. I feel great, bro. You know what I mean? I feel like maybe around 60, I'll be like, okay, nigga, you old now, nigga. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I just tell my daughter I'm old now. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like I don't really feel old. I'm having fun.
Yeah.
So I think you'll be good, bro. It's just, you shouldn't feel anyway. Like you shouldn't feel worried about that.
No, that's how I feel. I actually felt the same way turning 30. And I mean, y'all know me, bro. I don't drink or do anything interesting. Like when I turned 30, it was kind of a relief to me. Like, all right, cool, bro. Like officially tap me out on everything. Like,
Now I can really start telling niggas we ain't going to be there.
You know right. Well, that's what I told my mom. I didn't feel weird about turning 30. And she was like, that's because you've been 30 since you were 15. And I was like, that's about right, bro.
Is that how old you were when you had your first kid?
We were 30. Yes, I was 30. No, I was 29 when Vinny was born. So, yeah. So we were, you know, that whole year is a fucking blur. But yes, he was still a baby. He was in his first year when I turned 30. And now
Mary
it feels
just had a kid. You were supposed to be 30. Like your mom said,
even if starting to think about buying a house.
He was already 30. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he was doing 30-year-old shit. Yeah, for sure.
We're turning 40, thinking about like, okay, do we want to push to try and retire early or do we want to travel more? You know what I mean? Like that feels right for 40.
Yeah, you got some great problems, bro.
Right. Wow. That's what I'm saying. But I feel good about where we're at and everything, you know, knock on wood, kids are healthy. We're healthy. Everyone's happy. You know, I mean, I don't know shit. I'm looking forward to, I will for one day be married to a younger woman because Shar doesn't turn 40 until the day after me. That's one of our oldest running bits. Whenever that pops up on Twitter, was your oldest running bit with your partner is like, well, I do that younger woman shit every year for 12 hours. So I guess I got that going. I don't know. All right.
Congratulations, though. I think it's a big deal, though. You know what I'm saying? It's really dope to make it to 40, bro. You feel what I'm saying?
We got a lot of people in my family who didn't make it to 40. For sure.
And you got a happy ass life.
You got a lot of people who were either
kids, a beautiful wife,
or who were,
you know what I mean?
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, bro. Love you.
No, I'm just saying, boys. Bro. You live in a hell of a life, bro.
No, I'm for real, bro. I feel lucky every day I wake up. Feel very lucky I get to do this with you guys. And, you know, hopefully we'll still be doing this. Well, I'm the opposite of the rappers who said, shoot me if I'm still rapping at 50. I hope we're doing this till we're fucking 68, bro. Like, I want to be making Social Security fucking ARP jokes with y'all when we're fucking 70. That sounds great to me.
Hell yeah.
John's not going to be there.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
Yo, what the fuck? I'm talking to the homies, nigga. I would do this for the free. You feel me?
Yeah.
We were doing it for the free for hours. Okay.
Quiet. All right. You can fuck up my early retirement.
I went too far.
All right. That's all the time we got. We will be back on Monday with a regular episode. And then should we tease the next Love is Blind recap or let people be surprised? Tyler, what's your feeling?
I mean, we've been talking about Mina's hopping on with us.
All right. Mina's hopping on with us. Next. Mina's hopping.
Subscribe
on YouTube, youtube.com/@JenkinsandJones. The team's got us on all the other social media applications as well, so you can catch up with us anywhere, and we'll see y'all there. Bye.
The Volume.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.